Okay, so a few things. One is this chabura, all the chaburas, but this chabura certainly Yitzchak's learned with us a handful of times, so it should be an aliyah. The learning we have, the conversations between aliyah for your mother, whose name is
Shane.
But Yitzchak HaKohen. Neshama should have an aliyah from the schut of all you're doing for me. This chabur also goes out to Liz Browser, who picked me up from parent-teacher conferences to bring me here. And I wouldn't have been able to come over for her, so thank you very much, Liz. And for the parents who allowed me to move their conferences so I could be here. So everyone had a...
Liz, you get one of these.
One of the most inspiring books that I ever read. To me, it's a storybook. To many of you who are a little bit older than me, it was Life in New York City 30 years ago. But Rabbi Shlomo Riskin has a book which I recommend to everybody. It's called Stories for My Grandchildren, where he writes about his childhood. He writes about his relationship with Rav Soloveitchik. He writes about his experience in Lincoln Square Synagogue on the West Side. And he writes about his fight for Soviet Jewry. And he writes about taking his community and moving to Israel and creating what is now Efrat. And, you know, both my wife and I, you know, a lot of the resurgence, I would say. I went to Yeshiva in Israel 8 years ago. I was very excited about it. A lot of the resurgence in my own love for Eretz Israel came from that book. It's funny that I read it, and I was already in the world of chinuch at the time, teaching middle schoolers, and so I was a little bit disappointed, because I realized that my goal, if I could restart the whole rabbinical process again, I would become a pulpit rabbi, I'd find a shul, I'd get them all to fall in love with me somehow, and we'd get up and we'd make yeshuv in Israel. I said, man, I'm teaching middle schoolers, how am I going to do this? You know, it's an impossible task. So maybe this learning about Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael in this chabur for the next few weeks for a long time. Hey, Mark, what's going on? Hopefully it'll be the beginning of a dream that we can fulfill together. So we're going to learn the next 2 or 3 weeks a series of pieces of Rav Kook on kind of a combination of Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. It's going to be sporadic. A lot of them are going to be from a book called Orot. Orot is a series of essays that Rav Kook wrote just in letters to random people, but eventually was put together in topics. So there's Orot Eretz Yisrael, there's Orot on different things. Orot Eretz Yisrael is all the essays compiled on that topic, Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we're going to do a couple pieces from there and a few other things tonight. We'll start with this page, Eretz Yisrael, looks like this. Top right. Here we go. Eretz Yisrael, einena davar chitzoni. The land of Israel is not something which is external. It is not an external entity. Kinyan chitzoni le'uma. It is not an acquisition made, an external acquisition made by a people. It is not a parcel of land that we acquired and now have. Rak b'tur emtza'i l'matara shal hit agdut aklalit v'ha'chazakat kiyuma ha'chamri o afilu haruchani. It is not just a rak b'tur emtza'i. It's not just a means. L'matara, towards the goal, shal hit agdut haklalit, to the general gathering of people. It's not just a place with a goal of being able to gather as many Jewish people as we possibly can in one spot. And even if that goal, says Rav Kook, is that, vehi chazakta kiyuma hachamri, even if it strengthens our physical existence, oh afila ruchani, or if it strengthens our spiritual existence, meaning even if the goal of acquiring this land called the land of Israel is to further the existence and strength physically, or to invigorate the spiritual existence of our people, it is not just something to achieve that goal. Again, if you have a means to achieve a goal, once you've accomplished the goal, you don't need the means. So if it's just a means, then once the goal is accomplished, you can almost do away with the land itself, right?
Can the interpretation that it's peripheral?
Sure, peripherals, sure, certainly.
Resonates.
Right, so it is not a peripheral thing. Sure. Yeah, that's good. Good. Peripheral. Good word. Again, I've told you guys many times, my English is weak, so I appreciate that.
It's a hard word.
Kitsoni. Peripheral. So you'll help me too tonight. English. Eretz Yisrael, he chativa atzmotit. It is a chativa in the army is a unit. So it is a unit atzmotit. It's an inherent, essential unit. Kshura v'kesher chayim im ha'uma. It is an inherent unit connected with a very life, a bond of life with the nation. Chavuka b'skulot pnimiot im mitziuta. It is inherently bound up with the nation of Israel. Chavuka b'skulot, it is connected with in all different ways. Skulot is not like a skula like, you know, I say to Hillam, I go to the Kotel 30 days and I get a shidduch. We're not even that skula. Skula in terms of characteristics, ways, virtues, means, in many ways, in many different avenues, Eretz Yisrael is connected with Am Yisrael. But these skulot are not just general characteristics, like, oh, Am Yisrael, you know, is going to be a vehicle for Geula, and so is Eretz Yisrael. It's not just in these general means, but the skulot pnimiyot, these internal, deep, I guess, means, imitziyuta, with his essence. There's a saying that clothes make the man, right? Heard that? Clothes make the man? So that's a very external thought, right? Obviously, I am not my clothes. I am me, and the clothes say something about me. A person could drive a certain car and think that it's going to speak to some degree about who they are or what they are, but in reality, we know the car really has nothing to do with who they are. So in the same way, whatever goal you want to attach to Eretz Yisrael, whatever means you want to use, whatever goal you want to use it as, it means as, it is above and lamala min, whatever goal you have that you think it is supposed to accomplish. Now, it may be that there are means, that the goals that it does accomplish, we're not saying that there aren't, but if that is the extent to which you understand Eretz Yisrael, there's something missing. Okay, there's something missing. And rather, Am Yisrael, which we often think of Am Yisrael as something which is vibrant, is living, maybe has a sense of Kedusha, holiness, we talked about, like the soul that we all share. So this holiness that exists amongst the Jewish people, that's not just amongst people because people have souls and then the land is like this physical thing that we just happen to have a place that God told us to go. It's that just the same that there's this inherent holiness to us as a people, that the land is a part and parcel of that whole. There's this Kedusha that exists, that it's almost like Israel is part of our collective soul. Not this land that our collective souls are going to like go to one day, but that Kedusha, that or that godliness that fills us, also fills this land. Right? It's part of the same chativa. It's part of the same chativa. And so that's what Rav Kook is saying. And says Rav Kook in the fourth line here, Umitoch kach, and because of this, Eafshar la'amod al tochen shel skulat kedushat Eretz Yisrael, it is impossible to debate, talk about, refer to the substance of the, I guess, factors and characteristics regarding the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Ooh, and not only to talk about these characteristics, but ulahotzi lapoel et omek chibata, and to bring into reality its love. And there's a tremendous love that we have for Eretz Yisrael, a tremendous love that Hashem has for Eretz Yisrael. To take that Kedusha, that love, that beauty, and bring it into reality, okay, it's impossible to do that. Bishum haskala ratzionalit enoshit, with any sort of intellectual, rational thought. Meaning, in order to talk about Eretz Yisrael, you can't use, it's not like logical. It's not that I can explain the 10 reasons why Eretz Yisrael is a really good thing for... Thank you, I'm sweating here.
Couldn't get my client out of the office.
Okay. Can you tell him how important you are here?
You paid for that, but this is where you really need it.
That's right.
So you cannot talk about Eretz Yisrael in any sort of intellectual way. If you try to rationalize, if you try to talk about the reasons why Eretz Yisrael is an important thing, you're missing something. Rather, ki'im b'ruach Hashem asher al ha'uma Ki im beruach Hashem, asher ala ma bichlala. Rather, the only way to talk about Eretz Yisrael is through the spirit of Hashem, through godliness that exists in the nation. Meaning, you want to talk about Eretz Yisrael, so talk about the incredible godliness that exists in all of us, and that exists in our nation as a whole, and that is the same holiness, the same godliness that exists as a part of Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's how you have to talk about it. Again, not to say that there aren't rational reasons. I'm going to say this over and over again. You know, go to APEC. Doesn't mean there's many. There's, of course, there's many ways in which Eretz Yisrael does fulfill goals that we have. But that is absolutely not the extent, and it's not even the foundation for what we as Jews should think of when we think about Eretz Yisrael. It is part of the neshama klalit that we share, that is our the godliness in our lives and in the lives of the Jewish people. So, why do we not feel this, right? It's very clear that I myself, don't think about this very often. This isn't on the tip of my tongue when I'm explaining my love for Israel to people. My students, when they talk about Israel, they talk about how amazing Chagim are there, and the kosher food, and, you know, to see Jews everywhere, and those are all amazing qualities.
Just one day of Sukkot.
Only one day of Sukkot. Well, I don't know if you're coming back here. No, I'm just kidding. If that's the easy, you know, things that come out of our head, so why is this so difficult to comprehend, at least for me and I think for many of us? Because when you're in Galut, when I say in Galut, I mean not just Galut, like if I lived in Rechavia, I'd be in Geulah. I mean like the fact that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, we don't have this sense of, you know, Am Yisrael in one spot. So it's very easy, in order to survive, the focus of our national existence became something very different. Right? Mitzvot are very important. Targ mitzvot is what it means to be a Jew. But it's very easy when you're in the Golah to just say that mitzvot is all we have. Like our actions is all we have. We're being persecuted. We're in this country, when you move to that country, move to the other country. And the mitzvot are all we have. It's all that tie us to our Judaism, no matter where we are, no matter where we are in location, no matter where we are in history. So it's very hard to conceive that there's this inherent part of our Judaism, even of our Jewish culture, that exists even though we aren't a part of it on a day-to-day, year-to-year, and maybe even for 2,000 years. And that's why this is so, I guess, maybe hard to understand, hard to think about, and certainly not what comes to mind quickly when we think of Israel. And I think that, you know, in order to really take this in, we have to realize that the role of a Jew... Shalom, welcome. The role of a Jew, you know, is to serve, to do mitzvot, yes, to do mitzvot, but there's something much bigger that a Jew is supposed to accomplish in the world that goes beyond our... If I sat in a room and did mitzvot for my entire life, I'd be doing the right thing, but I'd be missing a bigger goal. What is that? To bring Hashem into the world as a whole. Okay, godliness is incredible. Hashem wants to dwell in the world with us. So we bring godliness into our lives, the life of our community. If you view that as the goal of mankind, to bring godliness into the world, a more general goal, so then Eretz Yisrael becomes a lot more important. Because that goal is only fully accomplished with the nation, in its land. And without that, there's something missing in the national destiny that we're trying to accomplish, which is the ultimate, I guess, bringing of God's light into this world. So, in order to, I guess, wrap your heads around this, we have to broaden what it means to be a Jew. It's this general shutafi klali type of a goal. And in that kind of a goal, me sitting in my room performing Tayag Mitzvot is going to get me far, but it's not going to get me the whole way, because the Jews in their land is a part of what's going to accomplish that goal for the world. And so, just to sum up, and then we'll go on, Rav Kook is saying that Eretz Yisrael has to be thought of as something entwined with Hashem, entwined with the neshama that we share, that is our godliness. And in that sense, it's more than just a means to an end. Comments, questions, jokes?
Yeah. You were saying that it's sometimes hard, and I would say that I don't agree with you.
Okay.
You know, lot of us have been disrupted. There's magic. There's a magic that not everybody feels, but a lot of people feel. And that's a sort of that magic. It's an intangible. You can say, "Well, it's because," but I think it's because it speaks to us. And I think we've all felt it in one way.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're stuck in Galut and you're not connected there, so for 2,000 years, we figured out a way to survive.
There's a whole bunch here. Yeah.
But we did it in a way that was missing something.
Right. Right.
And
right.
And when one goes to Israel.
Right.
To me, that's what...
Right, so I guess that's an important point. Certainly when I go to Israel, and I think what many of us do, there is something that is different, that is more, that is deeper, that we all experience. So maybe what we're doing for those moments, maybe it's not every second, but for those moments or those experiences that we do have in Israel, maybe what we're doing now is we're naming it. We're naming it. This is what it is. This is why it's not random that, you know, you go on this hike in the Golan and you feel something special that you can't even put your finger on, that it's not the same thing as hiking in the Alps, but there's something different about this land, and maybe we're naming it. And for those of us who, you know, would want that experience more, this encourages us to see, you know, open our eyes and see what this land really is. It's an important point. Thank you.
When you pray to Hashem in America, it's a long distance call. But if you do it in Israel, it's a local call.
Yeah, one of my friends, Rabbi Rael Blumenthal, he's a rabbi in Boca, he always said, the difference between, the difference between when the Gula comes, living in Israel versus living here, there's going to be one difference. If I'm living in Israel, if I'm here, then I'm going to go to Israel, and I'm going to sleep on someone else's couch. If I'm there, someone's going to sleep on my couch. Okay, here we go. The fifth line down, first word in the line is Asher. And it's the fifth, first word in the line is Asher, and we start with the word Behatba. Behatba, Hativit, Ruchanit shall Asher benishmat Yisrael. The natural form that exists in the spiritual nature of the soul of Yisrael. Shehi shesholachet et kaveha b'tzvaim tiv'im v'chol orchot shel hargasha habriya. It sends, it shoots out its rays, kaveha, its rays b'tzvaim tiv'im. There's so many things you could pick up on here in colorful, with colorful
natural colors
b'chol orchot shel hargasha habriya, to all elements of the feeling creation. Meaning, the rays that kind of are shooting out, so to speak, of this holiness, this godliness of Israel, they go out to our senses. And this is maybe to David's point, that just like godliness is something which is constantly radiating and pulsing in the world, it's almost like a radio station. Are we tapping into it or are we not? So Eretz Israel is no different. That it is pulsating this holiness, this godliness, this neshama klalit that we share with it. It's always, you know, going on. The radio signal is always happening. And sometimes we can tune into it and sometimes we cannot. But it's always going. B'chol orchot shel hargasha habriya. In theory, you should be able to, if you are a creation that has senses, you should be able to pick up on this, the rays, with natural colors, this natural vibrancy, at all times with all your senses. In Israel, and if you really do your work hard, even here. If I can feel godliness here, I should be able to feel Eretz Israel here. Now, what does feel it mean? But certainly, I should be able to connect to the godliness of Eretz Israel even here. Easier to do there, but even here. And it says Rav Kook, Umizrachat hi et zrichata, it shines its Radiance, it's lofty radiance. Al piota hamida sharuach hakadosha ha'elyona. How much does it shine its radiance? It's according to the spirit, the holy lofty spirit that hamimal eight chayim It fills the lives, the pleasantness, with this, I guess, lofty pleasantness, the hearts of all of the holy thinkers, the holy, the Kedushei Ra'ayon, the holy thinkers.
Yeah. Ra'ayon is the
ideas,
is
right?
The idea.
So the holy idea people, v'amukei ha'machshava Yisraelit, and the deep thinkers of the Jewish people,
maybe.
Philosophers. In other words, who picks up on these the most? There is a shining of light, of godly light, that is happening all the time, but not everyone is able to pick up on this equally. To the extent which you are among the Kedoshei HaRa'ayon, or the Amukei HaMachshava HaYisrael Elite, the ones who think deeply about the Jewish people, who deeply internalize the destiny, the sorrows, the trouble, the soul of the Jewish people, so you're going to experience these rays in a way, right, that are different than someone who isn't at all in the pulse of Am Yisrael, right? I think back in yeshiva, you know, Rav Schechter, he's been here before, and Rav Schechter is the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Schechter gets emotional very easily. And some of the most powerful moments in my 8 years in YU were seeing Rav Schechter break down in tears. When he said, Kelma Le'Rachamim for Rav Avadja, right? He had a tremendous love for Rav Avadja. He just started crying. He was crying and crying and crying and crying. Rav Avadja was someone who internalized the needs of Am Yisrael, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the needs of the average Jew. I mean, his Torah was something that filled the homes and hearts of. So Rav Schechter is a person who feels that. Whenever Rav Schechter, even if it's a halachic shir, is talking about Angunot, or he's talking about Chayalim who passed too early, he chokes up. He starts to cry. I mean, this is someone who feels with every fiber of his being the spirituality of Am Yisrael.
He's from Amukei HaMachshava.
Right, he's Amukei HaMachshava. He is sitting with the emotional challenge of every member of Kol Yisrael at all times. And so it's those people that when they get to Eretz Yisrael, it's a different kind of experience. Which those people that when they hear something going on in Eretz Yisrael, now for us who are involved, it's important. For someone like that, it every fiber of their being is feeling something very, very strong. And so that's what Rav Kook is saying, is that these rays are coming out all the time. And we have to be attuned to them, think about them, tap into them, realize what's going on, and realize that our striving to be among the, I would say even us, the Kedoshei Ra'ayon V'Amukei HaMachshava Yisraelit, is going to help us tap into this. Our growth as Jews is going to help us feel these rays, and to appreciate the people who do feel these rays. And if they don't, so obviously I'm sure they have a role of leadership of the Jewish people, but to appreciate how important those leaders are who do feel Am Yisrael, because they can experience these rays. Kook says, "Hamachshava al devar Eretz Yisrael shehi rak erech chitzoni kedei hamadat agudat ha'uma." A person who thinks about this thing called the land of Israel, in a way, in its rak erech, its only value is something peripheral, in order to kind of strengthen the nation, afilu, and let's just take in this line for the intensity that it is, afilu kishehi ba kedei livatzer al yada et ha'rayon yahaduti begula. Even if the purpose is to strengthen the vatzer, to fortify the idea of Judaism in the Gola. Even if the goal, and I could say for myself and many of us, the inspiration we have to be Jews comes from the fact that we have a state of Israel. Our trips to Israel, our kids' trips to Israel, the tzava and the pride that it gives us. A lot of our Judaism is wrapped up in that. Does Rav Kook though, but if the only thing that you think about is that, oh, look what it does for all of us in the Gola, we're a lot more inspired. Now that's a very good thing. I'm sure he wouldn't say that that's a bad thing. But that is not the point of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. Let's not limit it to only that.
It's not the end point.
It's not the end point. Exactly. Starting point, right?
Kedei lishmor et sivyono, to preserve the form, meaning of the Jews, Yahadut Begola, the Judaism in the exile. Ulaameitz et emunah v'hayira, even if it strengthens faith, yira, the awe of Hashem, v'hachizuk shel ha hamitzvot hamasiyot b'tzura haguna, and even if it inspires people to have chizuk b'shmirat mitzvot. All of those are incredible things, but they are not what Eretz Yisrael is only. It is more. It is more than that. And this line just is shakes me. Ein la hapri harayu l'kiyum. If a person looks at Eretz Yisrael like that, the fruit lo ra'ui l'kiyum, the fruit of the labor of Israel will not exist. It'll not continue. In other words, if Eretz Yisrael is a mean to those ends, says of Cook, here's what he's saying, maybe it's that we don't deserve to have the land, or maybe we deserve to have the land, but it's not going to yield the effects that it could. It's not going to have the growth and the, I guess, flowering of Geula at the rate that it could, if that's the way that we look at it. Because, I guess to an extent, you know, Soloveitchik speaks about this, Rav Dessler speaks about it, it's kind of like an in-between view of Medinat Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a bracha, it's an incredible bracha, and we can do unbelievable things with this bracha. We can inspire the entire Gola, we could be an Orla Goyim and begin that process towards Geula, we could create learning, Torah learning in a way that has never been experienced. But what we do with that bracha, how we harness it and how we use it and what the trajectory that we put it on is whether or not Hashem's going to, I guess, continue to flower the geula through it. And so that's what Rav Kook says, ha-pri ra'ui l'kiyum. It's ra'ui l'kiyum if we have the proper perspective and utilize this bracha of Medinat Yisrael towards such an end. And that means different things in different times of history with different leaders. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a bucky in politics or Israeli history. But certainly, this is the perspective that we have to have in whatever, effects it could have. And he concludes this idea. He says, "Ki yisod hazeh hu ra'ua." This concept of Eretz Yisrael being something to strengthen, only to strengthen Judaism Begola, it is... Ru'ah. I looked up. It said rickety in Google right. Translate. It's rickety. Shaky.
I was going to say feeble.
Feeble. Okay.
Yeah.
Rickety. It is rickety. Berech, meaning in relation to the value of the Eitan Hakadosh Shel Eretz Yisrael, the strength of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, you want to create a Medinat Yisrael that's going to be strong. No one's going to touch it, and we're going to go all the way straight, one way ticket. Do not pass. Go right to Geula. So treat this Medinat Yisrael as the sharing the godliness with all of us that it is, and that is the ultimate tachlit for it.
Yeah. I think we're appropriating it for today, 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, this was written before Hakamah.
True. Medinat. Yeah, it's true.
Right. This was written probably in the 1930s.
1935, right?
Right. So he, and I heard a lecture about Rabbi Beryl Wein,
yeah,
who said that the book was commenting on the founders of the secular state.
Right.
And he was saying, wonderful, amazing that you're creating the state. But if you view the state as only either to save Jews from Europe.
Yes, right,
or
right.
Or if you view the state as only a place for a bastion of secular socialism.
Yes.
Then you're doing it's wonderful.
It's good. It's good,
but
right.
It's not enough to maintain the state and
right.
for the state to actualize
its potential, right.
Where it's going to
right.
go.
Right.
The fruit is not going to continue.
We can understand this now because we see the state.
Right.
He was saying this before the start.
That's a very, very good point. That's a very good point.
Right.
It's almost like what we see is almost like way, you know, way many, many more steps ahead of what he was seeing in his world, right? So I guess if then he was saying that to the message of these people who were many of them secular but had this dream. So in our generation, I guess you're right, it looks a little bit different. Because we have many, I mean, the religious life is different.
You can see it. theoretically, you should be able to see it more
you,
so.
You could understand right. his concern yeah. better now that you see what happened.
It's like a prophet.
The failed experiment.
Right.
Yeah. Aspects of the failed right. yeah. To him, it's somewhat of a failed experiment. It's
or, are there aspects of it that, you know,
yeah,
concern?
No, I mean,
yeah, yeah. Only that it ends up becoming... ordinary, like anything else, just a piece of
He understood the slippery slope of only concentrating on this idea
right.
and not expanding the, right. the entire kedusha.
Right. And so you know you can look at kind of anything in the news or any decision made by any politician or anything having to do with Israel, and kind of look at it in one of I don't want to be black and white, but in one of two ways: is it furthering this you know this concept of it being the kedusha klalit? That is the Or Hashem that we all share, Am Yisrael, Nishmat Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael? Or is it to further some other goal? And while that goal might be important, you're on level two with that goal. You want to do things that are going to be on level one or ten or however you want to do the scale. Rav Kook says, Ha'amutz ha'amiti shel ra'ayon, this is the fourth to last line, last word on the line, ha'amotz, amutz, amotz. Ha'amotz, ha'amutz, ha'amiti. I ordered a few other versions of Orot. They have not come yet. One of them is by Rav Shlomo Aviner, who has a perush on this, which will help all of us. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook has a series of sichot on Orot. So this learning will get better as we as they come into our lives. Right now we just have the text without vowels. Ha'amotz, ha'amiti shara'ayon ha'yahadut begola. The strength, the true strength of the idea of Judaism in the Gola comes ba bo yavo will surely come rak mitzad omek shikuo be'eretz Yisrael will only come with a deep entrenchment in Eretz Yisrael. So I spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out what he meant here. Did he mean that Yehudut Begola doesn't exist unless you are in Eretz Yisrael, which is hard to understand because he isn't necessarily advocating for that. I mean, he's saying that the strength of the Yehudut in the Gola is... So I think what he means is that tying ourselves, B'kesher Shalom Aleichem, B'kesher Shal Kayam, with a very strong rope to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So our strength, Begola, will not just exist through all that we do that is external from the land of Israel, but our real strength comes from realizing our connection with the and the Kedusha of Eretz Israel. And certainly all the more so, as David mentioned in the beginning, if you are there and you live there, so I would assume that you'll tap into this even better. And you could possibly, depending on who you are living there, you could maybe further this in an even deeper way, but certainly it's able to be accomplished here. U mitikut and the longing, Eretz Yisrael, and those who long for Eretz Yisrael, yikabel tamid et ko tachnuotav haatzmiut will always receive its inherent qualities. In other words, anyone who really puts this on the forefront of their mind and longs with it with every fiber of their being, so they're going to get, they're going to gain. How are they going to gain? Well, they're going to gain because they're going to feel something very, very special. They're going to really feel godliness in their lives. They're going to really be filled up with this idea of Eretz Yisrael in their lives. And that's going to do a lot of things. It's going to do what we ultimately want, which is to bring Geulah very, very soon. To bring this the Oros HaMashiach, and we've talked about in Orot HaTshuvah this whole previous year, that any little action in our own individual lives or in the lives of the nation bring Geulah quicker. So if a person is tapping into Eretz Yisrael and that Kedusha wherever they are, so it affects them in such a way that that's a really strong step towards Geulah that individual person could take.
Last sentence.
And the last sentence is, Danny always reads ahead. you're such a what's it called? Spoiler alert, you always just
No, on the contrary, I'm preparing
right.
everyone.
Tzipiat Yeshua, the longing, yearning for Yeshua, Hikoach HaMa'amid Shel Yadut HaGalutit. It is the...
Unified.
Yeah, Ma'amid, it says stamina? I don't know, it says stamina?
No, Ma'amid is something that keeps together.
Yeah, oh right, in Halacha, it's... so it's something which it keeps together... the Jews of Gola. He had two Eretz Yisrael, and the Judaism of Eretz Yisrael, he HaYeshua Atzma, is the salvation itself. In other words, not to say that if you live there, that is, but meaning Eretz Yisrael and what it represents, meaning the complete, pure godliness in the world, that is Yeshua. That's Gula. You achieve, almost it's like if you achieve Eretz Yisrael, you achieve, you're tapping into this thing called Eretz Yisrael in your life, then you are experiencing Yeshua. And that comes, I think, through longing for it. And this line is, it's deep, but if you long for it, it is what will hold together Judaism in the Gola, but the Judaism of Eretz Yisrael is the Yeshua itself.
Saying that if you get... No.
You need to be here if you want.
He's smacking you a little bit.
Yeah, the same. Yeah. If you want the real Yeshua, you got to be here with us.
Longing for Israel is it's important for your diasporic Judaism,
right?
Indeed. But actually, living in Israel is actually actualizing. It is the actual.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, the mashal. If you think about it, you know, maybe what he's saying is that, like, if I'm sitting in the stands.
The Sofnut needs to borrow this sentence.
If you're sitting in a sporting event and you're in the nosebleeds and you're watching it, in courtside, it's different. You're on the, you know, it's a different experience, and the experience may be because you're a part of the unfolding of the Yeshua. It might also be that if you're there, you're tapping into it so much easier. It can come to you much, much quicker. And that process is something which is going to bring the Gula much faster. Right? Living with the consciousness of Eretz Yisrael in our lives is something that can bring Gula quicker. If I could do that better there, then Yeshua is happening, like,
I actually
right there.
Mean that there's something, the way I've worked this before, years ago, right? Something actually magical about being there. It's easier to feel it there. It's different there.
Yeah, it is. I guess.
More like a metaphysical
right. I would say Elu Derela Kim Chaim. I think you're right, and I think you're right. I mean that there is something going on there that is not going on here, and it's almost smacking you a little bit and saying you want to be in the action, get over there. And he's saying that, you know, a person who is there is going to be able to in his own personal life do something more transformative to bring Gula than someone here. I think both.
I also think both. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you go every now and again, you get that sense. I think when you kind of live there, you're going through the mundane travails of life and work and economics and that. I think it might, you know, I don't know. I mean, like,
It certainly can. I want to do one more. We have 10 minutes left.
It is still galut, right. Even though the air feels different in there. I mean, and there are still kids doing, you know, crack in the middle of Yerushalayim who are not feeling the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael because they're not conjoined with this idea of
what's going on here, right?
Of being a witness, they're not open to
right.
You know, so, you know, secular Israelis are not, like, wandering around going, oh, wow. You know?
Right.
In fact, I think maybe there are some people that say that Eretz Yisrael spits out people sometimes. It really literally spits out
people.
Right. And then they have people come here and become closer to Shiva because they can get their grounding. And then they go
and that's part of the work we have to do as...
They're looking at us and they're saying, oh, that's the... Where I really want to be.
Right. Saying, don't take it for granted.
Right. Yeah, don't take it. Use it wisely.
Right.
Use it wisely. Rav Kook has a halachically, Rav Kook wasn't just a Baal Machshava, he was also a posek, and it was a posek at a very formative time in Eretz Yisrael where they're having to figure out how to I guess, work in tandem with a lot of halachot that had to do with Eretz Yisrael that people hadn't had to really think about in a long time. The main thing, there's many, but the main thing that Rav Kook is famous for is something called Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira, when Shvit comes, when the seventh year comes, so one is not allowed to work the land. And therefore what that means is that you, any food that's bought from a farmer who's working the land has an issur, possibly deraita, depending on what it is, and allowed to eat. And everything else, issur derabanan, you cannot eat it. So what's everyone supposed to do? For many reasons. One, for the economics, you know, strength of Eretz Israel. What are the farmers all supposed to do? Just stop? Okay, the Torah promises you have bracha, but in practice that's difficult. Two, how is everyone supposed to be fed? Three, you know, it becomes very hard for the land. Land needs to be maybe
cultivated,
etc. So Rav Kook was dealing with this. And Rav Kook, you know, and he writes an entire book called Shevet Ha'aretz. Shevet Ha'aretz is Rav Kook's, like, I don't know, 100-page thesis on this idea that someone during the year of Shvi'it can sell their land to a non-Jew, continue to work it. The non-Jew owns it, the Jew's working it, they can sell the fruit. Everyone can eat the fruit, and it's not Jewish fruit. And today, if you go to Israel during Shvi'it, it's a whole balagan, the kashrut and everything. The Rabbanut accepts this, Heter Mechira, and if you go to a fruit store, it'll say Rabbanut, but that's not enough. It'll say Heter Mechira, so you know what you're getting yourself into. So if you don't think, Chazon Ish was very opposed to this, so if you don't think this is enough, you don't have to eat it. But Rav Kook really kind of created this halachic precedence for what we still do today in Eretz Yisrael. Anyways, he has an introduction to this Sefer, which has a lot of really beautiful Rav Kookian kind of ideas on Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to learn a few lines from it right now. And then we'll... Cookie? He's cooking cookie. I never heard that pun. That's a good one. Okay, we're going to pick up at the... It's in this big paragraph here. He writes in the second line as follows, after the period. Skulat ha'aretz or skulat ha'uma matimot yachad. The characteristics, the value, the I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah, it looks like this. It's got vowels.
We have vowels.
Chas Yashem. Okay. Skulat ha'aretz v'skulat ha'uma matimot yachad. They are to me. They're twins. They fit together. The all aspects of the people and all aspects of the land are one. You cannot have the people without the land. You cannot purchase Uganda, say, put the people there and we'll be okay, because the land and the people are conjoined twins. Kashem she'uma hi miyuchedet leharomamuta elokit ba'amakecha yeha. Just like the people are essential for the haromamut, to raise up, to bring out, to lift the godliness, the depths of godliness in its life. In other words, without Am Yisrael, no one would ever argue we're going to be able to really bring godliness into the world. There's no Am Yisrael, that's not happening. It says, Rav Kook, kach haaretz, so too with the land. Eretz Hashem, because it is the land of God. You want to bring godliness into the world. The people, even if they're all towards one goal, don't fully accomplish the goal. Rather, kach haaretz, Eretz Hashem. He machshira et ha'am, it prepares, it gets ready. The people, hayoshev aleha, who live on it, benachalat olamim, they live on it, and it's a eternal inheritance. Haba'a b'vrit u'b'shvua u'b'bitachon. It came to us through a brit, covenant, shvua, an oath, bitachon, and a promise, a security from Hashem. In other words,
bitachon netzach Yisrael.
Right. So, right. So, yeah, you could. Okay, I think netzach Yisrael could be at the end of the last sentence. It could also be the beginning of the first sentence.
Right.
So it could also, the Netzach Yisrael means the eternality of the Jewish people. In other words, Hashem promised us the Brit Ushua Ubitachon, that we are going to have this Eretz Yisrael, and our ultimate Tachlit is going to come to this land. And so, if we want to be ready for that, So that land prepares us. It prepares us by, first of all, just by living there, you will be more ready for, you are going to be one step closer to Geula if you are in Eretz Yisrael. It does something to you, whether it's something you could pick up on, like, oh, now I appreciate the Jewish people more, or something which you can't pick up on. It's just happening by way of being there. Right? A person's gets holier being there even if they don't know what's going on, right? So it's going to prepare us for ultimately what our tafkid is. Netzach Yisrael, the eternality of the Jewish people, hamiyusad, that is, I guess, founded al hateva ha'elokia kavua b'matbea eretz chemna nifla azo, that is founded, it's on the godly nature that is set, the godly nature that is set in the nature of this splendid and beautiful land, meaning our existence, Netzach, our eternality, exists only when we are a part of this godly land that is the source of that is bechemda nifla, hamezuveged la'amazeh, which is a zug, which is a pair with this land,
with this people,
amazeh, people. Hashem bachar lo ya l'skula, that Hashem chose for his skula, to be his chosen nation. So in other words, Hashem chose the people and he chose the land. So Hashem essentially said, these two things, you two, make up, work together, get along, and figure out a way to get this world where it has to go. If you try to do it with the land and not the people, and the people without a land, you're not doing the right thing. I promise you those two things are going to be the source of your nitzchiyut, of being able to accomplish as eternality. Nishmata umav haaretz, the soul, and this phrase is really like the catchphrase of everything, the soul of the land and the people. Right? It's one soul. Yachtav poalot et yesod havyatan. It causes, like the yesod havyatan, the basis of their existence. In other words, the people exist for and because of the land. The land exists before and because of the people together. Tovat, what do they do? Tovot et tafkidan. They claim each other's tafkid. In other words, each one has a tafkid that the other claims. Eretz Yisrael, it's kind of like Kilo, it's like, I'll help you with your tafkid because your tafkid is my tafkid. We're trying to work separately. We're not going to be able to accomplish what we need to do. We claim each other's tafkid. Lahotzi el hapoal et arigat kedushatan, to bring to actuality, into reality, the yearning of their holiness, v'shnat shabbaton, is in the year of the rest, meaning in the shvit. This is all about shvit, but just to sum up, in maybe simpler Hebrew, this I think was written for a broader audience. It was actually written for somebody, which a lot of other Rav Kook writings just written and it was published. But it expresses this idea that the two things are intertwined to be able to accomplish the tafkid of Hashem. One without the other doesn't have the power that together the power is straight to Geulah soon.
Amen. Shkoch. The Jews need the land and the land needs the Jews.
Amen.